Talk, a message of warning. Tacoma Park, Maryland, May 30th, 1905. I desire that all should understand matters in the right light. The messages given at the conference of 1901 and since that time, that our sanitariums should not be linked up with the Medical Missionary Association at Battle Creek, were plain enough to be understood by all our medical workers. Had our physicians, whom God has greatly honored by giving them light and encouragement, listened to the counsels and warnings then given them, they should have saved themselves and our people generally from many perplexities and temptations. The Lord designed that these men should be His physicians, light bearers to the world. But they have misappropriated the words of warning, and the enemy has been permitted to work a strange work among those who should have stood as standard bearers of the truth. The book Living Temple contains specious, deceptive sentiments regarding the personality of God and of Christ. The Lord opened before me the true meaning of these sentiments, showing me that unless they were steadfastly repudiated, they would deceive the very elect. Precious truth and beautiful sentiments were woven in with false, misleading theories. The precious representations of God are so misconstrued as to appear to uphold falsehoods originated by the great apostate. Sentiments that belong to the revealings of God are mingled with specious, deceptive theories of Satan's agencies. In the controversy over these theories, it has been asserted that I believed and taught the same things that I have been instructed to condemn in the book Living Temple. This I deny. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I say that this is not so. Bible truths are being used to serve the purpose of upholding theories that I have repeatedly condemned. There are those who persist in taking precious representations given me by God regarding God in nature, and weaving them in with sentiments that God never designed should be presented to His people. I protest against this use of my writings, and I am forced to speak to this conference, saying, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He who misplaces and misapplies the precious things of God is sinning against heaven." I had hoped that these matters would be straightened out at this conference. I hoped that, after the many decided warnings that have been sent to our medical workers at Battle Creek, they would take a stand for the right and remove the stumbling blocks out of the way. But another opportunity has passed by unimproved, and I cannot and will not keep silent. The flock of God must not be deceived. The truth of God must not be imperiled. The students who have gone to Battle Creek to obtain an education in medical missionary lines are in danger of receiving specious errors. In the name of the Lord, I say to our people, let your children receive an education in medical missionary lines from those who are true and loyal to the faith which has been delivered to the people of God, under the ministration of the Spirit of God. Amidst the perils of these last days, the truth is to shine forth in clear, distinct rays. When Dr. Kellogg receives the messages of warning given during the past 20 years, when he is sincerely converted, when he acts as a consistent, level-headed Christian worker, when his energies are devoted to carrying forward medical missionary work after the methods and in the Spirit of Christ, when he bears a testimony that has in it no signs of double meaning or of misconstruction of the light God has given, then we may have confidence that he is following the light. But until then, we have no right to regard him as a safe leader in the interpretation of the Scriptures. He will confuse minds and will co-mingle specious scientific errors with the instruction that he gives. It is not right to allow this seductive influence to be breathed by men and women who are training to be Christian missionaries, for thus they will be deceived and led away from the truths that Christ gave John to give to the churches. It has been presented to me that in view of Dr. Kellogg's course of action at the Berrien Springs meeting, we are not to treat him as a man led of the Lord, who should be invited to attend our general meetings as a teacher and leader. This subject has been kept before me for the past 20 years, yea, for more than 20 years. Before my husband's death, Dr. Kellogg came to my room to tell me that he had great light. He sat down and told me what it was. It was similar to some of the views that he has presented in Living Temple. I said, "Those theories are wrong. I have met them before. I had to meet them when I first began to travel. I met them in Vermont, in New Hampshire. I saw the curse of their influence in Massachusetts. The testimonies given me against them were right to the point. I was bidden to declare that we were to allow nothing of this kind to be taught in the churches."
Ministers and people were deceived by these sophistries. They lead to making God a non-entity and Christ a non-entity. We are to rebuke these theories in the name of the Lord. As I talked about these things, laying the whole matter before Dr. Kellogg and showing him what the outcome of receiving these theories would be, he seemed to be dazed. I said, "Never teach such theories in our institutions. Do not present them to the people." We knelt down and pleaded with God for His Spirit, and His blessing came upon me. All the way through my experience, I have had these erroneous sentiments to meet. And there is only one man who will not take warning by this history, and that is Dr. Kellogg. If he once gets his mind set, there is apparently no power or influence that will turn him from his course. That is the most discouraging feature in his case. The only way in which I can stand right before this people is by presenting to our physicians and ministers that which I have written to guard and encourage and warn Dr. Kellogg, showing how God has been speaking to him to keep him from the position which, unless he changes his course, will result in the loss of his soul. The strange part of it all is that the physicians associated with Dr. Kellogg act as if they were paralyzed, as if they did not dare to tell the doctor that he is following a wrong track. They seem to be afraid to speak the words of warning that they know are needed. But in the name of the Lord, I tell you that unless we stand firm to the principles of truth that God has given us, we shall be ensnared by the delusions of these last days. There are those who have known of the wrong work that was going on, but they have not put their hands on it. I hope the denunciation, "Woe unto you, lawyers," will not come to anyone who is professedly a believer in the truth. Luke 11, verse 52. If our lawyers permit things to come in that will undermine in any way the trust of God's people in the medical missionary work or the ministry, so surely will God take them in hand. It is a perilous work. We might take our perplexities to lawyers outside of our faith, for in the world there are straightforward lawyers, and put our affairs in their hands. But we do not wish to do this. Do we want to expose the controversies that have taken place? We desire that the breach shall be healed. But let every man take heed where he is going. We do not want Dr. Kellogg to destroy himself, and we do not want any of those associated with him to destroy themselves. His mind has been unbalanced for a long time upon these subjects, and we do not want his associate physicians to help him to take steps in the wrong direction. The light given me was that the controversy was come to a point where it seemed as if the battle was lost, and as if the enemy would gain the victory, but that God would sway it back. Then it would come again and again to a position that seemed to mean defeat, but there was deliverance. Three times, I think, this was repeated. We had to press against an influence that was satanic in its tendency. Mothers have come to me, saying, "Cannot you do something to break the spell that is upon my children?" They say, "I did believe in the Bible and in the testimonies, and I was happy because we had such an assurance, but of late my confidence is unsettled. Words of doubt are spoken here and there. This has uprooted my confidence, and what shall I do? I am terrified for our people,
terrified to think that they act so much like blind men. Terrified because they do not call wrong wrong and right right. For your own soul's sake, my brethren and sisters, put on the whole armor of God. Why did Paul give this exhortation? He knew that the followers of Christ would have to meet principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, and he called upon them to put on the whole armor of God. We need men who will work as if they had eyes to see and hearts to understand. In every part of our work, we need honesty and fidelity. These are essential. May God grant that nothing will be done which will bring in dishonesty and fraud. May God help us to come right to the point, is my prayer.